The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
Hi there and welcome along to The Week in Review. This is 90.3 Near FM and I'm Declan Ralph. Now, as usual today, I take a look at the stories that affect us, but you won't have heard much about them anywhere else on the radio this week. I'll feature stories too about people and groups that you may know or are interested in. Indeed, you might even be involved with them. And of course, I'll take a look at the stories that affect you as well here locally in North Dublin. Now, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the show that you are interested in, well, yeah, you can get in touch. You can contact me right now. You can get in touch on the text line by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500 while the show is on air. Or you can get in touch at any time on Twitter at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, coming up shortly, the local stories with Sarah and myself, as Ken is away this week. 24 replacement trees to be planted on Griffith Avenue. The council to urge the development of the abandoned Drake Inn. President Michael D. Higgins to officially open Better Ballymun Day. Dole delight as a new species arrives at Dublin Zoo. And one man arrested in Ballymun in connection with a cyber scam. Now, the National Youth Council of Ireland have recently launched a national volunteer recruitment drive. They've done so after experiencing a 64% drop in volunteers coming forward during the pandemic. Volunteers, as we know, they all play an important role in many organisations and charities, both nationally and locally, and they are a vital resource that will need to be continually tapped into. Blessing Dada is a youth volunteer and activist and will join me in about 10 minutes to share her experience of volunteering. Just after one, Sarah will be back to take a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. And yesterday, Friday, February 18th, marked the 7th annual Care Day, a global day to celebrate children and young people with experience of the care system. In Ireland, EPIC, Empowering People in Care, is the name of the national organisation working with and for young people who are either currently in care or who have experienced being in care. Its Youth Council took the opportunity yesterday to call on all of us to become care aware. Because, as the African proverb goes, it takes a village to raise a child. To find out more about Care Day, the work of EPIC, and how we can all be care aware, advocacy manager with EPIC, Fiona Murray, is going to chat to Sarah at about 1:15. Each week, too, on the programme, before I finish, I will squeeze in the jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. Now, I'm going to take a short break for a piece of music and I'll be back after this with Sarah and we're going to look at the local news stories. Yeah, that's a very old song from The Fortunes. It's called Caroline, the main theme to Radio Caroline, the old pirate from many, many, many moons ago. Now it's time for the local stories. Ken is away this week, so myself and Sarah are going to try and do our best. Sarah, what do you think?
Oh, sure, look, we'll give it a go. I don't know how fantastic it'll be. It might be calling for Ken to make a quick return, but we'll give it a go.
See how it goes. Yeah, well, the first story we have is a very local story. It's 24 replacement trees to be planted on Griffith Avenue. Dublin City Council's decision to replace the 24 mature trees that were felled last year on Griffith Avenue has been cautiously welcomed by the local Clontarf councillors. The council said it removed the trees that the Parks Department determined were a danger to the public and they couldn't be appropriately trimmed back, or they were dying off, or indeed were dead. And the local authority said that it originally planned on replanting the felled trees in late 2021, but ongoing waterworks in the area pushed the initiative back into this current year. And it is envisaged that the trees will be planted in late February or early March, depending on weather and ground conditions. Well, if they're depending on the weather today, they won't be planting too many trees.
No, for sure.
So what they're going to do is the potential planting sites will be inspected in the next week or two and appropriate specimens ordered for replanting. I'll come back to that in a minute. So they say that they intend on planting the new trees as close to the original sites as possible, but they may have to be positioned in slightly different locations to avoid future conflict with walls and pavements. And local Fianna Fáil councillor Deirdre Heaney said she welcomes the commitment by Dublin County Council, but urges the authority to complete the works before the end of the current tree planting season. And this particular tree replacement is a major issue of concern for residents of Griffith Avenue and the surrounding area, and who are all dreadfully upset last year when they witnessed the trees being felled, she said. And having discussed the matter with locals who expressed concern that they expected the tree replacement works did not take place last September, and they want them to get on as soon as possible. Now, in relation to the type of trees that were there, the ones that were taken down were called London Pane. And they are going to probably replace them with the London Pane type of tree, unless they say, the council, that there is a strong rationale to specify other species. Now, some other residents have put forward ideas. They want to have, I love this here, they're more than happy to hear the opinions of residents in this regard. And also, they want to introduce, wait till you hear this, Sarah, a small level of diversity and visual interest when viewed from the properties. Mm. What about that?
A bit of a design mind going on there. Yeah, it's interesting. I think people are very attached to, and obviously there's a lot more awareness now around the environment and nature and rewilding and everything. And, you know, to see kind of that spread of the concrete jungle, I suppose, and to see trees being removed, I think does aggrieve people, you know. So, yeah, but interesting to see as well. I know that they, you know, had kind of noted that the trees that were there were in very poor condition and, you know, stated that they were hazardous. So hopefully, you know, if there's a replacement scheme plans that what's put in, you know, works, and it works from a design point of view, but also in terms of the nature itself, that you know, that wouldn't be repeated again, and that they'd be in good condition for everybody to enjoy.
Absolutely. Now, from trees to drakes, but not the not the feathered type, a different type of drake.
A little bit different, yeah, but look, I think today might be a day for the ducks in some parts, and it might be a day for a little bit of indoor hospitality as well. Of course, though, this particular story relating to the abandoned Drake Inn, and Dublin City Council's Northwest Area Committee unanimously passing a motion to write to the owners of the abandoned Drake Inn in Finglas to seek out their plans for the site. The motion was tabled at January's Area Committee meeting by Fianna Fáil Councillor Keith Connolly, and the council have now agreed to write to the owners of the abandoned building, who are currently registered in Switzerland. So, an interesting one, I think, a story that we've seen across Dublin and beyond as well, in terms of vacant buildings. In this particular case, a reply to the motion from the local authority's active land management unit said that the Drake Inn there at 59 to 60 Main Street in Finglas Village was entered on the vacant sites register on the 16th of April 2019, as it met the criteria set out in the Urban Regeneration and Housing Act. After it was placed on that vacant sites register, a levy of 7% of its market value was then placed on the site and served to the owners in February of last year. That equated to €28,000, and I suppose that's kind of a little bit of a, you know, seen as hopefully kind of instigating a little bit of action in terms of future plans for the site. But you know, they have kind of conceded that the Act doesn't give the council power to force the owner to clean up the site, and it's understood that there are now efforts afoot to issue a compulsory purchase order on the site, but that they have failed to date. So it'll be interesting to follow how that proceeds.
Well,
council has said that that Housing Act doesn't provide for the compulsory acquisition of the property either. So, yeah, interesting to see what happens. I think a story, you know, that's... there might be maybe a precedent set, or maybe there's a precedent from somewhere else that they can look at. But you know, you would like to think that that buildings are less vacant like that, that they can be put to good use. You know,
absolutely. Now, I have two stories about Ballymun today. One really good news, and maybe one not so good news. But we go with the good news one first. President Michael D. Higgins is to officially open Better Ballymun Day. The president will perform the official opening on the second Better Ballymun Day, which is taking place on March 4th, not too far away now. And the president's going to meet with organisers and participants as they begin their day of action to improve the local community. And Better Ballymun was an idea developed by the students of Trinity Comprehensive, a secondary school at the heart of the community there in Ballymun. And the whole idea by the students was to mobilise all the members of the community and create the building blocks for a town that everybody can be proud of. And it's supported by Ballymun Tidy Towns, Dublin City Council, and the staff and students of Trinity as well have contacted the local clubs, local community groups, organisations and companies to take part in the day of action, where each can contribute in their own way. And the visit by President Higgins, the organisers say, will be an enormous boost for the students and the many community groups that are taking part in the day. So they'll be painting everything and cleaning it all up for March the 4th
when
Michael D. arrives.
Like a lovely one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, a great day to be had out there for sure, and bright things ahead, no doubt.
Absolutely. Now, dole delight at the zoo, and that's nothing got to do with getting your money from the dole. I don't. What
well,
is
I have to
what is a dole?
To pronounce this one. This is a brand new species, and it's the first time in the zoo's history that it has had resident doles, and of course a first for Ireland. Therefore, too, five male doles came to Dublin Zoo from Tier Park, Berlin, a number of days ago, and they're said to be settling into their new habitat very well. They're more familiar with living in the Asian forests close to the Asian lion habitat, and they're also known as Asiatic wild dogs, which I think maybe creates a certain kind of impression as to what kind of animal we're talking about here. The pack that have arrived to Dublin Zoo consists of a pair of 6-year-old brothers, a pair of 3-year-old brothers, and a 5-year-old half-brother. So a family there set to no doubt be a star attraction, I'm sure. There's populations of doles living in parts of the world like Bangladesh, Cambodia, India, Indonesia, and now a new arrival to Dublin Zoo as well. So best of luck to them there.
Yes, Sarah, it's interesting. I'd never heard of a dole before we found this story for today, but it sounds like something very exciting for the zoo, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It was something that I actually was just looking up there when you had mentioned it, you know, and they're classified as endangered on the International Union for Conservation of Nature's red list. So that's due to their kind of habitat loss. Now, there's been a big conversation around that kind of depletion of prey and erosion, I guess, of habitats of wild animals around the world. And also they are suffered at the hands of disease transfer from domestic dogs as well. So
right.
I guess that idea then in terms of some of the zoo's work and their conservation work is that they'd provide the right setting for them. But yeah, the team there say that they're really looking forward for visitors in the zoo to come and see the dogs and to get the opportunity to learn a little bit more about this type of wild dog. They're said to be about 4,500 to 10,000 left in the wild, with numbers declining now. So they've really come to Dublin Zoo as part of that effort to preserve the species and to raise awareness and educate the public on the kind of animals that they are, but also the kind of threats that they can face in the wild, and sure to be of interest there. So they have moved into their new home at the Asian Forests section of Dublin Zoo.
Well, I look forward to seeing them. Now, the other story about Ballymun is about a man who's been arrested in connection with a cyber scam, and cyber scamming is something that we need to be all very aware of these days, phishing and smishing and all those kind of things, new words that we didn't know anything about a while ago, but we need to be very aware of them now. A man in his 20s has been arrested as part of an ongoing investigation into cyber offending online and smishing. In a statement, a spokesperson for the Gardaí said the arrest was made last Thursday morning in Ballymun following a search by the GNECB and officers from the DMR. South Central Detective Unit, and the man is currently detained under the provisions of Section 50 of the Criminal Justice Act 2007 at Ballymun Garda Station, and he can be detained there for up to 7 days. And the spokesperson also says that the investigation is part of the Operation Kryptos, which is an operation that's part of ongoing investigations into cyber offending online and the sending of bogus smishing text messages to victims throughout the country, and investigations on that are ongoing. Something we all need to be aware of for sure, Sarah, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, we do a bit of work in the ISPCC, I suppose, in the day job in terms of children and young people's online safety. But I think for everyone, it's amazingly kind of clever is the wrong word, but when you see a text pop up like that, how close a lot of us have come to clicking on a link that looks legit. It may be in a thread of text that come from a particular that actually have the name of the bank maybe, and it finds its way into a thread of legit messages, and you know, you find yourself, so really kind of that level of awareness in terms of looking at what the URL is, kind of you know, speaking about, kind of raising awareness and raising the flag, I suppose, if you do come across anything like that. And good to see that it is obviously being taken seriously then in terms of the follow-up around it.
Excellent. Sarah, thanks for helping me with the stories today in Ken's absence. He'll be back live and well and firing on all cylinders, I'm sure, and all puntastics will resume as normal next week when Ken is back. And I'll talk to you a little bit later when we look at the live events just after one. I'm going to take a short piece of music now, and I'm going to be talking then to Blessing Dada, who's a youth volunteer and activist, about a drive that the National Youth Council have to increase volunteers coming forward. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Declan. Thanks for that.
Birds and bees and all the flowers and trees, fishes on the line, girls and guys and yellow butterflies sing hello summertime. A homemade boat and a river to float with nothing on our mind. Summer moon above, two people in love singing hello summertime. Summertime,
laying back in the sun.
Yes, summertime,
having summertime fun.
It's a time for two, just me and you, and the summertime. Swing from a limb, drop in for a swim. Hey, the water sure looks fine. Ain't nothing wrong, just floating along, singing hello summertime. Summertime grins, lots of good friends, we're all feeling fine. Watch the sun go down, hear the summer sound, singing hello summertime. Summertime,
laying back in the sun.
Yes, summertime,
having summertime fun.
It's a time for two, just me and you, and the summertime.
This is Near FM. Hi there, I'm Declan Ralph, and welcome back to the Week in Review. Now, don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the programme that you're interested in, well, you can contact me right now by text. The text line is open while we're on the air. It's 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. Or you'll always get me on Twitter at Near FM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Now, the National Youth Council of Ireland have recently launched a national volunteer recruitment drive. They've done so after experiencing a 64% drop in volunteers coming forward during the pandemic. And as we all know, volunteers play a really important role in many organisations and charities, both nationally and locally. And I'm joined now by Blessing Dada. Blessing is a youth volunteer and activist, and we're going to have a chat about volunteering. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Well, tell me a little bit about yourself, Blessing, and what you're involved in.
Yeah, so a little bit about myself. I'm Blessing. I'm 22 years old, and I am a mental health advocate and activist, and I just share my lived experiences of living with mental illnesses, and I create content online to raise awareness on the intersectionality of mental health. And I volunteer with Spun Out and Sea Change, the Shona Project, Lust for Life, and I just like to be as involved as much as possible in different aspects of Irish society.
Yeah, brilliant. How do you get time for anything else with all the volunteering?
I just try and manage. That's really it.
Great. And you're obviously passionate about mental health issues as well, in terms of some of the volunteering roles you have there, but also in terms of you look at your online presence as well. So tell me why that's so important to you.
I suppose, like, just with my own experiences of growing up, I would be very passionate about bringing diversity and inclusion, and especially representation in the work that I do. I just think it's really important to see yourself in different areas of Irish society, and especially with mental health. I like to let other people know that it's okay not to be okay, and mental illnesses doesn't discriminate, and it can just affect anyone regardless of your race or gender, and etc.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really it.
great. You mentioned a lot of organisations there. Would it be fair to ask you, maybe it's not the right question, but have you a favourite, or have you something you prefer to do than others, or do you just get equally excited about all the roles that you volunteer for?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a favourite. It would be all equally enjoyable and favourable. I enjoy being a member of Spun Out, being on the Dublin Action Panel, and being a sea change ambassador for mental health, and writing articles for Lust for Life. So I enjoy all the volunteer work in all areas that I'm involved in.
Great. So maybe we just take one of them as an example. Let's take your role there in Spun Out that you mentioned at the start. Just tell us a little bit about what that involves and what you have to do.
So Spun Out would be an organisation for young people by young people. So we would talk about different issues that would affect young people. You know, we would talk about sex education and mental health, lifestyle, and different issues that would affect young people. And the articles would be written by young people as well. So we would have the articles on the website to educate young people on different issues that they might not necessarily learn in school, and it also just brings a sense of community to know that there might be a young person going through an issue and they might feel alone in that sense, but if they were to see an article online, it just shows that they're not alone in whatever that they're going through. So that would be one of the things that Spun Out would be doing a great job in.
Yeah, it's very important that people know that they're not on their own, and that there is help there for them.
Yeah.
I mean, during COVID, it must have been difficult to keep the volunteering activity up as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as you said in the beginning, there was a 64% drop in volunteer numbers, and, you know, that comes with, like, many different reasons. So, for example, back in 2020, I think we had like the public health restrictions. So obviously, you know, we had the 2K and the 5K, and if your volunteer work was outside that, you couldn't really do much in that. We had like personal health concerns. So like people who would be involved in volunteer work but would be immune compromised, or would have to protect family members, or, you know, we didn't have the vaccine back then in 2020, that would be another impact. Another one would be maybe not being able to work online. So obviously, if you're working on the front line and, you know, working in the soup kitchens, you might need to meet certain needs for people, and obviously you can't really do that online. And then I think the biggest one of all is the Zoom fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, studying and working online, and then after a long day, and then you're back online to volunteering. I just think over time, people just kind of get tired of just being behind the screen. So there would be a few examples of why there was just such a big, massive drop in the volunteer numbers.
Yeah. And what would you say to people who are thinking about volunteering and haven't done it, and what would you say to them? Why should they do it? How would you encourage them to do it?
I would just say to be the change that they want to see in Irish society. I know, like, we're all very good at coming together in times of need when people are struggling. Like, the amount of times I've just seen so many different GoFundMe pages or recruitment campaigns during the pandemic, and just the love and support that people come together to help in times of need, and the pandemic was just very evident in that. So I definitely say to people that, you know, to go onto the National Youth Council of Ireland website, and, you know, when you're looking through the website, you'll see so many different stories and examples of how volunteering has impacted other people's lives. And, you know, it brings a sense of, you know, just how much love that there is out there. And it can benefit yourself as well, because, you know, when I started, one of the reasons why I started was because I didn't really have much friends and I was being bullied back then. So I started volunteering at the age of 12. And then onwards, I just began to make friends during the time I was volunteering in so many different areas. So it helped me as well to you know, work on my communication skills and resilience. And, you know, I'm a very shy person as well, so definitely volunteering has helped in that sense. So it works both ways, you know.
Yeah, I think you're clearly saying there that there is as much a benefit for the individual who volunteers as for the organisation and the work of the volunteering itself, if you like. I think that's probably your key message there.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, it's great. No, well done, and you're involved in lots of different organisations, you said. So it is great to see so many people involved in organisations. That drop during the pandemic hopefully can be reversed, and people will now that they can go physically again and don't have to get involved in Zoom or Zoom fatigue, as you said during the chat there. Before I let you go, Blessing, I mean, in 2 to 3 years' time, how would you see yourself? What would you be doing? Would you like to get involved in some new areas, maybe, or would you like to influence some new things?
There's so many things I want to be involved in. I guess just working with young people, the community, people in general. I think I just want to stay raising awareness on different perspectives of mental health awareness for ethnic minority communities in Ireland. And I just see myself just working my way through youth work and the community. And I don't know, maybe one day become a college lecturer in that sense as well. I don't know. There's just so many things that I want to be involved in, because I'm just very passionate about collective liberation for everyone. And yeah, volunteering work is for everyone, it's for all walks of life. I know when people hear it, they think of just young people volunteering, but, you know, I have, you know, REI Network would be an example of three amazing women, Diane, Joy and Vicky, who would be involved in volunteering work to, you know, help the young people of ethnic minority backgrounds and LGBT and etc. in Ireland. And they would be all women over the age of 30. So, you know, it's open to everyone. Definitely. And I would just really encourage people to, yeah, just support each other.
Great. Well, Blessing, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to me today and telling me your story and encouraging people to become volunteers and get involved in making their local communities and indeed the country and the world a better place. Thanks a million, Blessing, for that.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Not at all. That's Blessing Dada there, youth volunteer and activist, telling us all about her volunteer story. Now, coming up in the second part of the programme, just after one now, after the break here, Sarah will be back and we're going to have a look at the local events taking place over the next few days. And then after that, we'll have a little piece of music, and then we'll chat, Sarah will chat to Fiona Murray, who's the advocacy manager with EPIC. The EPIC are Empowering People in Care organisation, and we'll squeeze in the jobs and volunteering opportunities before we finish as well.
90. 90.3.
This is Near FM. Near FM.
Don't forget to listen out for The Art Show, each Tuesday.
With a mixture of music, theatre, film, reviews, interviews and live studio performances. Many from local artists and musicians.
The Art Show, Tuesdays.
Tuesday evenings at 7.
Horselips to Hair Squid, rock to rap, punk to pop, and all genres in between. Join me, Michael Sullivan, every Saturday night between 8:30pm and 10pm for Irish to the Core. I'll be playing the best in Irish contemporary music from the past to the present. So don't forget, every Saturday night between 8:30pm and 10pm, Irish to the Core on Near 90.3 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to take a roller coaster ride to the hearts and minds of post-primary school pupils from Northeast Dublin. Through their stories and poems in our new three-part radio series, The Word, you will encounter the full gamut of emotions, a cacophony of voices, and a surprising amount of talent. The Word educational radio series will be broadcast here on Near FM on Monday the 7th, 14th and 21st of March at 2pm. Prepare to be amazed.
This is Near FM
90.3.
The Week in Review with Declan Ralph. For stories you haven't heard anywhere else on the radio this week.
And welcome back to the programme. Don't forget, if you'd like to get involved in the show or you'd like me to feature something on the programme, well, you can contact me right now by text to 087 69 44 500. That's 087 69 44 500. That's while the show is on air. Or you can get in touch anytime at Twitter, at NearFM, at Declan Ralph, hashtag Week in Review. Local events with Sarah Birmingham. Hi Sarah, welcome back. We're going to have a look at some of the local events now, and this is an interesting event. I've seen this on the horizon myself for a while. It's about listening to the Northern Lights at the Pepper Canister Church. Sounds incredible,
doesn't it? Yeah, I must say there's an awful lot of gigs, events and really interesting sounding kind of arts experiences happening at the Pepper Canister at the moment. So I'd say well worth checking out. One in particular that is happening this evening is a performance by Sophie Giannin, and she's joining the Chamber Choir Ireland as guest director of Northern Lights. It's a concert which is going to present Scandinavian choral music evoking the beauty of the region as night begins to fall. It sounds like an absolute treat for the ears. From the pastoral picture of dusk in the mountains painted by Hugo Afin in Aftonin to the sense of space and peace created by close distance as night descends on a snowy scene, you can just kind of conjure up the...
You can visualise it, can't you? Yeah.
Night
yeah.
on our earth. Yeah, yeah, some of these pieces, they just sound really kind of... That kind of... really kind of otherworldly almost kind of sense. The music, you know, is evoking kind of the beauty of the meadows, the hills, the forests and all of the Scandinavian countryside. It's a performance, as I said, by Chamber Choir Ireland, and the tickets for it there are priced from €5 to €20 and they're available from chamberchoirireland.com. They are saying that the concert is beginning at 6:30 this evening with doors open at 6:15, so it is an early one, and audience members are asked to arrive a little bit in advance so that everyone can get seated comfortably for the performance. They're still using masks in the theatre there as well, just to note. I think that's generally across the board for the next little while anyway. That's the way it's going. But chamberchoirireland.com certainly for all the details on that.
Excellent. Now the Roaring Twenties are back. We're talking about the 2020s, not the 1920s though, yeah?
We have waited for them, and I think, yeah...
100 years, wait.
Well, 100 years, well, certainly the last two were the hardest, you know, to say the last stress of the marathon like that, but yeah, the Roaring Twenties are very much back in full swing at the Prohibition Party at the Sugar Club tonight. So we're going to see Ireland's King of Swing, Luke Thomas, and his band, the Swing Cats, perform a very special Prohibition edition. So they're kind of playing on that idea that the COVID lockdown, I guess, was like our own kind of Prohibition times, and they're going to present their own hit show, The Story of Swing, at the Sugar Club from 7:30 tonight. I know it's going to run for a couple of hours. They're going to have a musical timeline of swing classics from the 20s to the modern day, and I'm sure they're going to have everyone up dancing and celebrating those good times coming back again, hopefully, with all favourite swing and big band songs, Sing, 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 Putting on the Ritz, Fly Me to the Moon, New York, New York, and loads more there. This is really going to be a kind of a great Gatsby style party, and everyone is invited, of course. The first swing class Dublin headliner since their 2019 sellout Olympia Theatre shows, so they're rare and go. Tickets there are priced at €22. They're available now from thesugarclub.com. If you just go to the events tab on the site there, you'll be able to join in all that in there.
Now, something a lot more sophisticated and refined is happening out on the south side.
It is, and I guess, yeah, as you say, you know, on this programme, every so often an occasion calls for a trip to South Facility and a chance to check out some of the entertainment offerings of great venues down there, like the Pavilion in Dunleary. Tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock is going to be an encore screening of the Royal Ballet's performance of Romeo and Juliet presented there. It's a great modern ballet classic, of course, nuanced and detailed choreography, which gives the dancers in the lead roles a lot of opportunity for different interpretations of the doomed lovers. And of course, Romeo and Juliet is iconic and you know, a story that everyone is familiar with in some way or other, but that story, there's lots of kind of emotion in it that plays out through the ballet. You know, they fall in love, and then their families are caught up in a feud, and they marry in secret, and there's killing, and there's something for everyone, I think, there, I suppose, really, in that sense. But and this particular production includes evocative designs by Nicholas Georgiadis, bringing the colour and the action of Renaissance Verona, with a busy market bursting into sword fighting and that family feud and the tragedy. And so it's all played out through obviously the medium of ballet in this particular scene. And you can catch that screening there at the Pavilion at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, with ticket price at €13 and €15. And again, if you just go to What's On tab there on pavilionteatre.ie, you'll be able to see the Royal Ballet a little bit closer to home.
Sounds like a feast for the senses, all right, for sure. Now, people of all ages are being invited to squeeze in a reed for Ireland this coming Friday.
They are indeed, yeah. So I know we spoke with Dublin Libraries there a couple of weeks back, and about all the great and varied work that they're doing. But this Friday, February 25th, is being marked out in the calendar as the day for the Ireland Reads campaign to celebrate all that's great about reading. People of all ages are invited to take, whether it's 1 minute, 10 minutes, an hour or more, squeeze in a read on Friday, and to relax and to boost your well-being at the same time. The campaign is a public libraries initiative. It's delivered in partnership with Healthy Ireland, publishers, booksellers, authors and more, and they even have ambassadors, authors and readers like Joe Duffy and Marion Keyes and Rick O'Shea, all getting involved in on the action there as well. If you head to the irelandreads.ie website, they have a two little kind of monitor where you can pledge and state how many minutes you plan to spend reading this Friday as part of the Ireland Reads campaign. And you can see there that as of last night, really, it may be more now, but there was over 120,000 minutes already pledged there. So the question is, how many minutes will you squeeze in to read, and how many minutes will they smash by Friday, I guess?
And how many minutes do you think you'll do?
I've gotten very bad at the reading, but you know, you have to walk the walk, really, don't you?
You do.
I think there's a little bit of motivation. It's a sign, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit of motivation. Yeah, I talk about being not a great reader or getting at it. I'm a terrible reader. I like to listen to audiobooks more than read them. So
yeah.
I might pledge maybe a half an hour of an audiobook or something like that. Even 30 minutes into the pot would help. Now, locally, the Axis Theatre in Ballymun do some fantastic work, and they did a lot of fantastic work over COVID and are carrying that on now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they really have that kind of sense of community spirit at the heart of everything that they do. They carried that through the pandemic and through the last 2 years, and now they're starting to open up and they're starting to take the best, I guess, of both in-person and online workshops and events and offerings. And this month they're offering the Community Vault Exhibition, which is an immersive exhibition celebrating in bulk, of course, that whole sense of kind of springtime and moving in from February into March and brighter days ahead. And they have works on show there by established artists including Katia Kaminska and Meg Stone, alongside insightful and creative contributions from members of the local community in the area as well. And it's all being presented by the Access Green Arts Department and supported there by Dublin City Council and the Arts Council. So you can go along and check out the works at the gallery. They are continuing to wear masks there as well, if you think of that. And as I say, it's really one of the varied and exciting new creative initiatives being hosted by Access and taking place both in person and online. So lots going on there. You can pop down to the gallery into the theatre space in Ballymun, or you can find out all the details at accessballymun.ie, or just check out Access Ballymun on any of the social media channels. They're active everywhere, so fair play to them, but lots happening there.
Now, I never knew until right now that Dublin has a historian in residence for children. And is Dervla Roach. And there is something happening for children and young people.
I think this is a lovely one. I hope I'm allowed to say we do, but I mean, I feel like kind of a bond here, because I think that idea of having a historian in residence for children is just a lovely one to kind of bring history to life in an age-appropriate kind of way that's creative and interesting and exciting. And so this coming Thursday, the 24th of February, Dervla Roach is going to present children and young people with an intriguing introduction to life in Ireland during the World War II emergency. The free and interactive Zoom workshop happening on Thursday afternoon, so hopefully quite accessible for everybody. You can explore issues including how Dublin came to be bombed, despite Ireland being a neutral country, and they expect the experiences of Irish people who fought in the war, and lots more too, and all about what life was like for people, you know, of all backgrounds during that time. The content is geared at young people aged 9 to 12, but it's a family workshop, so sure to be of interest to people of all ages. And as you mentioned, with Dervla Roach, who's Dublin's first historian in residence for children, and she is kind of playing an active role as part of the creative residency programme delivered by the Dublin City Council Culture Company, who we've spoken to before as well. So it might be interesting to have a chat with Dervla at some point. But that free workshop, as I said, taking place at 4 o'clock next Thursday, and you can book a free space for your young person by visiting the What's On tab on richmondbarracks.ie.
Excellent. Sarah, as usual, thanks for that comprehensive look at some really great, interesting events happening for children of all ages, I suppose we might say, over the next little while. Now, we're going to take a short break for a little short piece of music. And Sarah's back with an epic interview with Fiona Murray. See what I did there?
Oh, Donna, oh.
Ian, and you're very welcome back to the Week in Review with Declan Raff and myself, Sarah Birmingham. Well, yesterday was, of course, Friday, February the 18th, and it marks the 7th annual Care Day, which is a global day to celebrate children and young people with experience of the care system. In Ireland, EPIC, which is Empowering People in Care, is the name of the national organisation working with and for young people who are either currently in care or who have experience of being in care. EPIC's Youth Council took the opportunity yesterday to call on all of us to become care aware, because as the proverb goes, it takes a village to raise a child. And to find out a little bit more about Care Day, the work of EPIC, and I guess how we can all be care aware, we're delighted to be joined on the programme now by Advocacy Manager with EPIC, Fiona Murray. Thank you so much, Fiona, for joining us. And a really important day yesterday. I guess a good place to start might be if you could tell us a little bit about the work of EPIC.
Absolutely. And Sarah, thanks very much for having us here today. And we're delighted, and happy belated Care Day.
EPIC is a national
advocacy service that works with young people who are in care or who have care experience. So we would work with very tiny young people right up to young adults up to the age of 26. And we provide one-to-one advocacy, which basically means that we are ensuring that their voices are heard within the care system. We're there for information and support, and most importantly, as I said, to advocate on their behalf. So young people come to us for lots of different reasons. Some of them are, you know, maybe they want to help with a letter, or maybe they want to help with a phone call, or sometimes they need ongoing support. So really, our involvement with a young person is very dependent on the reason that they've come to us seeking support.
So sure, it's really varied like that, as you say, yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a colleague of mine was speaking yesterday, and I was very struck by the fact that he said, our job is different every single day, because every single day we're meeting a different new young person, and they're coming to us with their own individual issues, and it's really important. And I suppose that's really part of why, you know, our work is also that empowerment piece for young people, and that we do see every young person as an individual, and, you know, ensure that their voice has been heard and what they have to say is so important. So just briefly to say to you that we are a national organisation, and we do have offices throughout the country. So we have an office in Cork, an office in Limerick, and we have an advocacy service for the West. So basically, no matter where you're living as a young person in care, you can access our organisation.
That's a really fantastic service, but I think it's so personalised like that, as you say. But, you know, can you tell us a little bit maybe about kind of what life is like, I guess, for some of those children and young people that you work with and who are either in care or maybe leaving care or have that experience, you know?
Yeah, so I suppose, you know, we're focused on Care Day, which was, as you said, yesterday. We're looking at, you know, that young people can have very, very positive experiences of being in care. And many young people we work with would talk about the fact that, you know, whilst it was difficult for them to go into care, they understood the reasons why they had to. And, you know, maybe that's about, you know, their early life experiences. Maybe that was about their mommies and daddies just having a few issues at a particular time. And I think it's also important to say that, you know, whilst young people come into care, some young people also go back home and continue living with mom and dad at a point when things are in a better place for everybody. So, and I suppose, you know, we're fortunate in this country, really fortunate, that we have approximately, you know, 6,000 young people in the care system. And I'm going to say probably 90% of those are in foster care. And, like, that's quite a unique situation for us to find ourselves here in Ireland, because what we're doing is we're ensuring that where possible, we're affording the young people a family life experience, even though it may not be with their own birth mom and dad, but it's with a foster mom and dad who are going to equally show them as much love and encourage them through their lives and to progress. And I think that's the other thing that the whole focus of Care Day is all about: successes and celebrations, and, you know, the fact that all the important people that young people in care come in contact with and the very significant role they play in their lives. And we may not even realise it. It could be the teacher that they had in school. It could be that social worker that used to take them to see mom and dad. You know, and that's what we were looking at yesterday, was celebrating all of those people. And that's the village, and, you know, it takes the village to rear the child. And, you know, that was the whole focus of saying, whilst young people in care may meet a lot of people through their lives, they also can play a very, very important part for them.
I thought that was such a great line, that sense of it takes a village, you know, and I think it's something that across, particularly across children's services, but I'm sure across the country in general, we really saw, you know, the setback, I suppose, that the pandemic caused in terms of highlighting the importance of those individuals that maybe children weren't able to see at that time, you know, be it the teacher, yeah, the sports coach, the community leader, like that. So, you know, there must be a fantastic kind of sense, and hopefully it's very helpful and important now that we can start to kind of reconnect with our communities. But what did that look like yesterday then in terms of celebrating Care Day in communities across the country?
Oh yeah, so there was a lot of things happening on social media. We had young people joining, you know, writing stories, getting reflecting on their lives, writing poetry for us, all being posted up on our social media sites, or young people involved in baking beautiful cakes. We had a scavenger hunt today for some of our young people today, online, unfortunately, but you know, and it's very interesting how young people have adapted, and I think you know, for all young people in the country and young adults, it was a challenge in the last 2 years, and I suppose significantly more so perhaps maybe for young people in care, because they did lose out on certain things couldn't happen. But you know, I think to be fair to TUSLA, to be fair to their social workers, you know, people tried really hard to keep them connected with the very important people in their lives. And yesterday was all about that, was about saying, you know, well, actually, we're here now, we've got through this, we're celebrating, but most importantly, we want you to know we are young people in care. I might live next door to you, you might know I'm a child in care. I might be in your class with you, you might know I'm a child in care. But it's really important that we're talking out about care being, you know, a place that can be a really good place for young people. And also we acknowledge that it can cause its challenges as well. And I just think it's important, absolutely, maybe just to say that the celebration of Care Day yesterday, you know, and the theme was looked at our Epic Youth Council, who advise us on many aspects of our work, and certainly would also raise issues in relation to care at government level, and would lobby on certain matters with, you know, that they feel are very pertinent to them as young people who have been through the care system, or young adults who have been through the care system. But the theme for yesterday's Care Day was, you know, was put forward by the Youth Council. They felt that this was really an important conversation to be having, and also I suppose just yesterday was also supported, you know, by TUSLA itself, and also by the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth. Absolutely. You know, we've got lots of supporting people out there. While EPIC is the voice for children in care, it's also about all those other services and other agencies that are involved in their lives as well.
So if people were to do something positive maybe today or this weekend and take a step to become more care aware, what would that maybe look like, or where would you kind of signpost them after this piece?
Well, I think, you know, it would be really good to start looking at our, you know, our website, our social media sites, and our website is www.epiconline.ie. And if you were to maybe try and educate yourself, maybe that's probably the word I'd use, around what is care and what can care look like for young people. And I suppose, you know, that to understand that, you know, sometimes the stigma around care can be quite negative, and maybe by, you know, sharing these stories, reading what these young people are telling us, I suppose being a bit maybe more alert of what care is about, you know, it may help.
You're changing the dial, I think, like that, you know, I think it's fantastic work going on, and particularly important, of course, to highlight the Youth Council as well. I think we could chat about it all day. Unfortunately, the clock is against us a little bit, but I think we've led people in the right direction there, and hopefully opened up a little bit of awareness and conversation about Care Day and about the importance of being care aware. Thank you so much, Fiona, and look,
hopefully we might
get a chance to check in with you guys again, but thanks for joining
us
today.
Thanks a lot. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And thanks a million to Fiona, the advocacy manager there with EPIC, and thanks a million to Sarah as well. And Sarah, we'll chat to you next week.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
Looking forward to it too. Now, I want to let you know about some jobs and volunteering opportunities that are available locally. I take these from the activelink.ie website, where there are literally hundreds of opportunities. Now, this week, in fact, there's 38 requests for volunteers and 346 job offers. So the volunteering opportunity first, Children in Hospital Ireland are currently looking to expand their team of Just Ask volunteers who provide a much needed service of providing a friendly welcome and support for children and their families when they arrive at Children's Health Ireland at Crumlin. Now families, as you know, travel from all over Ireland to attend Crumlin Hospital with their sick children, and they can arrive exhausted from their long journeys, stressed from trying to find some parking and worried about finding their way to their appointment. So this is where the volunteers help. The volunteer role will appeal to people who are energetic, proactive, approachable, friendly, enjoy engaging with children and can work as part of a team. And also you need to be comfortable in a busy, sensitive and diverse environment. If that's something that interests you, to register your interest, well, you can email Emma, and it's emma@childreninhospital.ie, and just pop Just Ask in the subject line there. Now, the job opportunity today, established back in 1969, AINTIS, the National Adult Learning Organisation, is a non-governmental membership organisation that promotes the value of adult learning and advocates for the rights of all adults to qualify learning across the tertiary education system. And they're looking to recruit a policy and project officer based at their offices in Ranelagh. However, the role will allow for both at-home and in-office working through a hybrid work model. If you go to the ActiveLink website, the link to apply is there, and the applications must be in by the 28th of February, last day of the month. Well, believe it or not, that's it for this week for The Week in Review. Thanks a million to all the contributors to the programme today. And as always, if you want to get in touch, the best way to do that is on Twitter, @NearFM, @DeclanRalph, #WeekInReview. So from Sarah and myself, Declan Ralph, we'll be back at the same time next week, 12:30, Saturday lunchtime. See you soon on the radio. Bye for now. Bye-bye.